Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and a very warm welcome to the Info Edge India Limited Q1 FY 2017-18 results conference call. Joining us on the call today are Mr. Sanjeev Bikhchandani, Vice Chairman, Mr. Hitesh Oberoi, Managing Director and CEO, Mr. Chintan Thakkar, CFO. As a reminder, for the duration of this conference call, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star followed by zero on your touch-tone phone. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to our first quarter results conference call. As always, we will first take you through the quarterly financial performance of the company. Then we will cover each business in more detail, and in the end, we will be happy to take questions. We would like to mention that similar to Q1 to Q4 of last year, the reported quarter one numbers to the stock exchanges are based on Ind AS, the new accounting standard. In this call, we will discuss numbers based on Ind AS. The audited financial statements file uploaded on our site for Q1 is also based on Ind AS. We have also uploaded the deferred sales revenue numbers under Ind AS to help the understanding of the movement of revenue numbers under each segment. For Q1 FY18, we have also provided segment revenue, profit before taxes, and DSR movement under IGAAP in our data sheet on our website. For the standalone company, revenue in Q1 was rupees 223 crores versus rupees 198 crores in the same quarter last year, an increase of 13%. Billings in Q1 were rupees 241.4 crores versus rupees 212.2 crores in the same quarter of last year, an increase of 14%. Operating expenses, excluding depreciation, were at 152.1 crores versus rupees 149.8 crores in the same quarter last year, an increase of 2%. Operating EBITDA, excluding any exceptional item, was at 70.3 crores versus 47.8 crores in Q1 of last year, an increase of 47% year-on-year, on account of an increase in revenue of nearly 25 crores and a marginal increase in expenses of around 2 crores. EBITDA, adjusted for ESOP non-cash charges, stood at 79 crores versus 54.7 crores in Q1 of last year, again an increase of around 44%. Operating EBITDA margin in Q1 was at 31.6% versus 24.2% in Q1 of last year, and adjusted EBITDA margin stood at 36% versus 28% in Q1 of last year. Deferred sales revenue has increased to 354 crores as of June 30th, 2017, versus rupees 337 crores as of March 31, 2017, an increase of 5% Q-on-Q. The cash generated from operations during the quarter was at 105 crores, and the cash balance, therefore, now stands at 1,455 crores as of June 30th, 2017, as per Ind AS. Moving on to segment-wise highlights. For the recruitment segment, billings in Q1 were at 182 crores, an increase of 12% year-on-year. Recruitment revenue was at 160 crores and grew 11% year-on-year. Operating EBITDA margins in the recruitment segment were at 55% versus 51% in Q1 of last year, and EBITDA margins after adjusting for ESOP non-cash charge stood at 58% versus 53% last year. For Naukri India corporate sales, the operating EBITDA margin was at 64% versus 59% in Q1 of last year, and operating EBITDA margin after adjusting for ESOP non-cash charge stood at 67% versus 61% last year. In Naukri in Q1, we added an average of 17 Naukri India in Q1, we added an average of 17,700 fresh CVs every day versus 14,600 last year, and the Naukri database grew to around 53 million CVs. Average CV modifications on a daily basis were at 264,000 versus 238,000 last year. In Q1, we serviced a total of 47,000 200 unique customers versus 43,800 unique customers in Q1 of last financial year, again based on Ind AS revenue. We continue to make reasonable progress in our recruitment tools and systems business and continue to add new customers. Strategically, the business is very important for us in the long run, but the size of the business is still small and is unlikely to move the needle on top line significantly in the next 4 to 6 quarters. In fact, all solutions pertaining to CSM, applicant tracking, and the referral hiring tool are being repackaged and rebranded and repositioned as a Naukri recruitment management system, which will now be available in different versions. If you recall, we had indicated in our previous call that due to the change in sales incentive policy last year, we expected higher billing growth in Q1 this year on account of some renewals being deferred out so as to help us reduce discounting and improve realizations. We were therefore expecting higher than the growth that we are now, the 12% growth that we are now that we have reported, but that did not turn out to be the case. On further analysis, though, it appears that while the above sales policy change did impact billing and pricing of our core offerings positively, growth in Q1 seems to have been impacted on account of one, lower hiring trends in some sectors, especially the IT sector, which, as you know, forms a significant proportion of our revenue. This resulted in lower offtake of our high-value campaign stroke advertising and branding products. And two, collection growth seemed to have been hurt slightly around the end of the quarter because of GST. There were some clients who seemed to have delayed purchases as they were unsure of the impact of GST on their business. Though we believe that internet hiring will be the last to get impacted, as we are still the cheapest and fastest way to hire for IT companies, if the slowdown persists for long, it could impact our business adversely going forward. Our traffic share continues to be about 74%, excluding Indeed, and is about 60% if you include Indeed. The Naukri Plus business, which is about 5-6% of our revenue, continues to be impacted negatively by the fragile state of some of the economies in the Gulf. Moving on to the 99acres business. In 99acres, billing grew 8% year-on-year in Q1 of FY18 to rupees 30 crores, while revenue grew 13% year-on-year to 31.4 crores. In Q1, 99acres made an operating EBITDA level loss of about 9.6 crores versus a loss of 18.9 crores in Q1 of last year. Adjusted EBITDA loss after adjusting for ESOP expenses stood at 7.1 crores versus 17 crores in Q1 of last year. We have been continuously rationalizing our spend given lower competition and the slowdown in the real estate market without compromising on investments in product and technology which are required to maintain leadership. Our traffic share among real estate portal continues to be in the mid-40s based on time spent despite us cutting advertising expenditure. This is very encouraging. We are now between 40 to 50% larger than our nearest competitor on traffic at an overall level and have traffic leadership in all major markets. The real estate market, however, continues to be very, very sluggish. As you're aware, the Real Estate Act RERA, which was passed by the Centre a while back, and was to be implemented in the states, is now being implemented. Some states have now notified rules and appointed a RERA regulator as well. As more and more states notify rules and appoint regulators, we hope the state of the industry will start to get better in the long run. There is many a slip between the cup and the lip, though. In the interim, there is massive confusion regarding RERA and whether builders and developers are allowed to advertise old non-RERA registered projects. New launches are also held up as they are yet to receive RERA approvals. Developers are also distracted as they try and get RERA ready. Some consolidation stroke shakeout on both the agent and developer side is expected post-RERA, and there is likely to be huge volatility in the business for the next 2 to 4 quarters as a result. The good news, of course, is that the competitive activity in the space has reduced significantly, at least for now. And this is helping us cut our costs. Moving on to the Jeevansathi business, Jeevansathi billings grew 25% year-on-year in Q1 of FY18 to rupees 18 crores, while net sales grew 23% YOY and reached rupees 17.5 crores. Operating EBITDA losses in Jeevansathi increased to 4.1 crore in Q1 of FY18, versus a profit of rupees 0.1 crores in Q1 of FY17. EBITDA loss after adjusting for ESOP non-cash charges stood at 3.7 crores for Q1 of FY18 versus a profit of 0.4 crores in Q1 of FY17. In the Hindi belt, our share continues to grow and our position is getting stronger. Jeevansathi has now been growing at an average of 24% for the last 8 quarters. The mobile traffic in Jeevansathi is close to 85% of our total traffic, and the Jeevansathi mobile app continues to be the best in the category. Moving on to the education business, Shiksha. Billings grew 45% YOY in QY FY18 to rupees 11.5 crores, while net sales grew 20% year-on-year and reached 13.8 crores. Shiksha made a profit of rupees 2 crores at the EBITDA level, and at the profit was in fact 2.9 crores if you adjust for ESOP and non-cash charges. We continue to work on our product and are making good progress post the revamping the site earlier this year. Over the last 12 months, we have substantially improved our content and SEO. As a result, our user base is growing at a healthy rate. We continue to be leader in this market and saw good renewals and upgrades with our key accounts. Moving on to our strategic investments, our investee companies continue to witness growth. We have put out the required financials as part of our annual report last quarter on InfoEdge.in. Merit Nation and Canberra continue to be our subsidiary companies. Most of the investments are now parked in subsidiaries, which in our view gives us more flexibility and options. Additional funding by existing companies, investing companies, could be required from time to time, and we will evaluate each case on its own merit. We also continue to evaluate new investment opportunities. To summarize, we need to be watchful of the top-line growth in Naukri for the next couple of quarters if the IT slowdown continues and domestic GDP growth does not pick up. The full impact of GST on businesses will also play out over the next few quarters. Our competitive position in Naukri continues to be very strong, costs are under control, and we continue to invest in new products and site improvements. Over the past year or two, our mobile apps and sites and all our businesses have witnessed improved traction with more and more users accessing our sites through them. This is very encouraging. This is clearly an area for continuous improvement and product enhancement for us. The real estate market continues to be weak in most cities, and implications of RERA are expected to unfold over the next 2 or 3 quarters. In our view, a more transparent and organized industry is good for marketplaces like us in the long run. RERA, however, is likely to lead to massive consolidation in the industry, and this will result in volatility for the next 2 or 3 quarters. Competitive intensity in real estate has subsided for now. We continue to focus on rationalizing our costs without compromising on product quality and user experience. We continue to invest aggressively in the Jeevansathi and Shiksha businesses as well. That's all from us. We are now ready for any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to only use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. You'll take the first question from the line of Ravi Menon from Elara Capital. Please go ahead. Ravi, your line is unmuted. Please proceed with your questions. As there's no response, we move to the next question from the line of Rajesh Sharma from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. I just missed the number on, your traffic growth in Naukri, which was including Indeed.
So our traffic share, excluding Indeed, is 74%, and if you include Indeed, it's around 60%.
My follow-up on this is that Indeed is just, 6 to 9 months old, and it's already causing a 14% damage on the traffic. So how do you see this panning out, and also Google getting into jobs, directly by improving their algos there? If we leap apart the slowdown in IT, how do you see both Google and Indeed as a potential threat to Naukri?
See, actually, Indeed has been in the Indian market for around 5 or 6 years now. They're not new. they've just been advertising sort of a lot more off late, that's all. So so they're not new to the Indian market, and they've started monetizing for the last few quarters and advertising, you know, aggressively, but they've been around for a while. In fact, we used to do business with them even 5 years ago when they were just a pure aggregator. As far as Google is concerned, you know, it's very early days. They've announced their plans to get into jobs in the U.S. market. They've also launched a recruiter app. Let's see how this pans out. Our sense is that Google will first end up competing with Indeed in the U.S. market, because Indeed is the number one player in the U.S. right now, and they have a very similar model to that of Google's. Our model is slightly different from both Indeed and Google. So let's see how that pans out. It's very early days to sort of comment on that right now.
Just one more follow-up on the Naukri side, that, you know, with your margins being at 60% or, you know, even if 58, don't you think that in itself makes the whole job vertical very lucrative for any new competition to get in? And also the fact that Indeed is spending more on ads for the last 6 months. So does that mean that you need to do something about this 60% going back to 55% and need to invest more in ads or some other product developments?
Yeah, Sanjeev here. So see, in the last 20 years since we launched Naukri, there have been a number of competitors who've entered. So there's been Time Job, there's been Shine, there's been Monster India, there's been Jobs Ahead, there's been Yellow Jobs, Jobs DB, Job Street, you know, Stepstone, all of them came in, right? All-time jobs. There are at least 15, 20 competitors came in. We still have a 75% traffic share if you just count traditional job sites, right? Indeed has been around for 6-7 years, so it's not a new phenomenon. Indeed, traffic is also a pass-through, actually, because there are jobs from other sites. Okay, I think our goal has to be to make sure that we get the most number of jobs that defends traffic. This is a network effect business. And our sense is that Indeed has essentially succeeded in those markets where there hasn't been a strong entrenched leader. Having said that, obviously we cannot do nothing, and we continue to innovate. And I'll let Hitesh talk about the what we're doing on Naukri. But at a top strategic level, you know, yes, we are concerned, as we should be, and we have been concerned for the last 20 years every time a competitor has entered. But thus far, at least, we have not been threatened by any competitor seriously.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like Sanjeev mentioned, I mean, Indeed started life as an aggregator, and basically they started aggregating jobs on job boards and then became the biggest job board. So that worked, the strategy worked in markets where there was fragmentation, where there was no clear leader, where people therefore, you know, willingly gave their jobs to Indeed to start with because they wanted more traffic to compete with the other portals. That's the strategy succeeded in the US, succeeded in the UK, did not succeed, you know, to that extent in Australia, where there was a strong incumbent in the form of Seek, which was a dominant player in that market. In fact, we did not give our jobs to Indeed. We stopped giving our jobs to Indeed a few years ago when we realized what they were up to. And so we believe that we can compete with them. In fact, we also started aggregating jobs some time back so that we don't miss out on anything. So there's not much of an advantage which Indeed has over Naukri in India right now, unlike the other markets, where they were fairly strong compared to the other players in that market. The business model of Indeed is also very different from that of Naukri. And, you know, plus we've had these relationships with our clients for the last few years. We have, 600 strong sales team. We've sort of have 65,000 customers who've been working very closely with us. They're used to our platform, our interfaces, our products. Plus, you know, we're not lying. Sort of, still we are investing aggressively in new product development. I talked about the RMS business. We are trying to sort of go closer to enterprises and see what we can do with to help them improve their recruitment hiring practices and not just be a sourcing arm for them. We are aggressively investing in improving our algorithms and improving the relevance of our search and, you know, in sort of big data tools and techniques. we sort of so there's a lot of stuff that we are doing to ensure that we stay ahead of competition. And so let's see how it evolves. We've seen many, like Sanjeev mentioned, players in the past. Yes, Google is different. Google is a very big company, and one should worry about Google even more than one has to worry about Indeed. But like I said, you know, Google will first end up competing with Indeed in the US. Let's see how that moves, and then we'll see.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from Ravi Menon from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. You know, in your opening remarks, you spoke about how, you know, despite the change in sales strategy, you didn't see the kind of results that you had hoped for Naukri. I thought that the revenue per customer growth, is, you know, the revenue per customer, that grew pretty strongly. About 7% year-on-year, if my calculations are right. Were you actually disappointed by the number of customers added? You know, that resulted in overall revenue being a little lower?
Yeah, see, typically what happens is when we grow, we get, you know, upgrades, we get price increase, and we also sort of end up adding new customers. Because some revenue was deferred out to this quarter from the previous quarter, we expected growth in this quarter to be higher than what we reported in the previous quarter. That, unfortunately, has not happened. And on deeper analysis, it seems that while we were able to lower discounts, we were able to negotiate better deals with some of our customers because of the sort of, fact that we deferred out sales. There was some shortage, a shortfall in collections towards the end of the quarter. So in the last 15 days, we collected a little less than what we thought we would. And, you know, partly it was because of the IT slowdown in some markets, and partly it is also because of GST sort of being rolled out around, you know, the same time. And many sort of, some companies, in fact, sort of said, listen, we are very busy, come back next quarter. But, you know, this is just a preliminary analysis. We sort of know, we'll see what happens this quarter. Let's see.
Right. And secondly, a follow-up on, I just missed the revenue numbers for Jeevan Saathi, if you could give that.
So in under Ind AS, 17.5 crores in top line, it's about a 23% growth on top line in revenue. Billings grew by about 25% to 18 crores.
Right. Thank you. And, and you're looking at the other verticals. You said that, you know, the Shiksha grew pretty well. Anything that you can want to highlight there, you know, and it's already breaking even. Any more investments that you see or something that would change the break-even back to being negative?
So, you know, this is a seasonal business, and the last quarter is, of course, the big sort of quarter for the season. And we made a small profit. But, you know, it's very early. I mean, this is not a business that's been generating a profit year on year for the last several years. We made profit only, once or twice. And so this has to sustain for us to be able to sort of say that this is going to grow, be a profitable business and grow healthily from here on. So we'll have to wait and watch and see what happens here.
All right, thank you.
Otherwise, the team is executing well, the market is okay, we are a leader, but still, like I said, it's still a very young business.
All right, thank you. And is there any other vertical that you're seeing in Naukri that, that's showing some promise? I mean, so you've called out three verticals of, you know, IT services, BFSI, and infrastructure. Anything else where you're seeing some growth?
So, listen, I mean, we are seeing a slowdown in IT, for sure. So the IT business is not growing as fast as the non-IT business, and there is a difference there. Within non-IT, sectors like telecom, etc., have been hit to some extent. But the other sectors are by and large okay. So it's not as if something is witnessing massive growth, but they're all positive.
Mostly. Thank you. Best luck.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Ashwin Mehta from Nomura Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Hitesh, you'd last quarter indicated that IT slowdown will not necessarily have an impact. But now you seem to be suggesting that that's starting to have an impact. So what kind of clients, is it largely the service providers which are having an impact, or is it the GICs and the MNCs also starting to have an impact?
So like, I said in the previous call, the IT for us, when we say IT is 40-45% of our business, it includes IT services companies, exporters, IT services companies which focus on the domestic market, product development companies, internet companies, MNC back offices of back offices of MNCs and so on. Now we don't have know how much what percentage is what. But anecdotally, what I can tell you is that some of our large IT services companies, we sort of not managed to build what we thought we would build from them this year.
And just one follow-up in terms of 99 acres, the revenues did grow better this quarter, but you're indicating that the impacts of RERA and the sluggish market will likely be felt over the next 2 to 4 quarters. So do we still hope for a positive growth, or the impact is going to be materially negative?
See, actually the answer is we don't know. RERA is, is basically every state has to notify RERA rules, and they have to set up a regulator, and then they have to put up a website, and then people have to apply to get clearances, and then they have to give clearances. So every state is at a different stage. Maharashtra has, of course, taken the lead. So the Maharashtra market for us got it very badly because of the confusion around RERA. The other sort of geographies have been hit to some extent, but one doesn't know how this is going to play out over the next few months. If I go by what clients tell us, then they are sort of, it looks like that this could lead to consolidation. This could lead to a shakeout of the smaller sort of builders and brokers out there. There could be a rush of, launches have been affected very badly. I mean, nobody's launching new projects right now because of the confusion around RERA. It's not very clear whether projects which were launched a long time back but have still not been sold or are under construction are allowed to be advertised or not. Right now, and different states have different guidelines. So some states are saying, listen, if you have an occupational completion certificate, you can go and advertise. Others are saying, listen, if you don't have a completion certificate, but your 6 projects 60% complete, you can go and advertise. So there's confusion, and nobody wants to take chances. So one has to see how this plays out. 31st July is a deadline for in many states for applying for a RERA registration for a project. So there's likely to be a surge of applications under RERA over the next 1 or 2 weeks. And then maybe it'll take a month or two for projects to get clearances, and then action may start. But it's like I said, it's very difficult to say what's going to happen. This is what we are hearing in the market.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks a lot, and all the best.
Thank you.
We'll take the next question from the line of Riya Sen from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, all. Firstly, the impact of the change in sales incentive structure, are we through with it, or would there be some impact on 2Q as well? So would that support growth in the second quarter as well?
So, of course, Q1 was the one Q1 and Q2 are the 2 quarters which are supposed to benefit because of the change in incentive policy. So my sense is that we will still benefit. Because, like I said, this has given our sales team more time to negotiate, and this is helping us reduce discounts with some of our large customers. But, there is also, like I mentioned in the last quarter, there was also a negative impact because of GST. There was a negative impact because of the IT slowdown. So our overall growth will depend on sort of what really happens to IT growth, to IT hiring, and to the general sort of economy, as well in Q2. So we'll get some positive impact because of the changes in sales incentive policy, but there could be a negative impact from other places.
But if it's to do with pricing and getting better pricing, then that impact should be there through the rest of the year as well, right? Because you recognize it slowly.
We changed the policy last year in the first quarter, right? So now, of course, it's like to like going forward. It's only the sales which got deferred out in Q1 of last year or from Q4 of the previous year, which we were sort of looking to benefit from. Because
right.
That was not counted in the base for last year.
Right. Secondly, continuing with the question on real estate. So 99 acres growth seems to have been okay this quarter. Was there some sort of a one-off despite RERA? What led to 13% growth despite, you said that Maharashtra there's been a hit?
No, RERA started impacting our business towards the middle of May, right? So we had a reasonably good first quarter, first 1.5 months. and our business grew at a higher rate, and then things slowed down towards the end of the quarter.
Okay, so we are yet to see the full impact of RERA.
Yes.
And in Maharashtra, how much of a hit has it been post?
So we don't really give out numbers by state or city. But yes, Maharashtra was impacted the most because the Maharashtra has been in the forefront of implementing RERA, and the law there is very strict.
Understood. Also, could you repeat the figure of revenue and revenue growth for Shiksha? I missed that.
Just one second. Shiksha. So Shiksha billings grew 45% year on year to 11.5 crores, while net sales grew 20% to reach 13.8 crores.
13.8 crores, right? Okay. And
we made a profit of 2 crores at the EBITDA level.
Sure.
Yeah.
And the other income in the quarter, was there any sort of one-off? Seems to have been a bit on the higher side.
No, there is no real one-off. Was there any negative in last quarter? I think it's just that the other income is being recognized more as per Ind AS. And you know that's why the securities that we have, they are all marked to market, so it is just that is the only impact.
Understood. And lastly, if you could provide an update on Zomato, what's happening there? What's the strategy? How it is panning out in terms of execution?
So Zomato has been executing really well for the last few quarters. They're almost breaking even. And they've been growing at a handsome rate as well. And they still have about, enough money left in the bank. So we continue to be bullish on Zomato and the way they are sort of executing. Their delivery business is also now doing fairly well.
Is there a revenue growth target for this year?
Well, there is, but, we're not announcing it. Neither are they.
Okay, fine. That's all from my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Dinesh Pathak from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you. In your recruitment business, what percentage of the traffic is organic?
So, it depends on what you mean by organic, because we don't really advertise too much.
So anything that you pay for through Google or otherwise, that would be considered inorganic.
Sorry?
So any traffic which is paid for, which comes through, let's say, the likes of Google, mainly.
Our paid traffic is maybe less than 10% of our traffic.
Okay. And also, in your recruitment business, would you be able to give numbers like, what percentage of the revenue is annual subscription, what percentage is, half-yearly subscription, how much is repeat business? Can you give some cuts like that?
Well, we don't do that right now, but we can sort of think about it and we'll get back to you.
Okay. And lastly, on Zomato, with this, the security breach and Uber Eats and other places, can you share some color on the traffic growth numbers and traffic share and things like that?
Well, I think there was a bit of an impact for about a couple of weeks. And on online ordering, a bit of a slowdown in growth for about a month. But I think they're back to normal now.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Ankur Rudra from CLSA. Please go ahead.
Thanks. The recruitment business has a lot of moving parts usually. What's been the difference in trend in terms of growth in Naukri India, Naukri Gulf, and Quadrangle?
So Quadrangle did not have a great quarter, and they were impacted a lot by the slowdown in hiring, especially in IT. So Quadrangle revenue was actually... billing was down. Billing, Quadrangle billing was down 50% year on year. Just one second, I'll get the numbers. Sorry. Yeah, so Quadrangle billing was down 51%, and revenue was down 26% year on year. Naukri Gulf billing was down. Just one second. 17% year on year, and revenue was down about. Revenue grew by about 4% year on year.
And India, if you could just break that out separately.
No. Just one second. So Naukri India, including the candidate services business, you know, billing grew by about 16% and the revenue growth was about 13.5%.
Okay, so you know, given your comments about you know, you're worrying about Indian IT growth going forward, it looks like the India business has not been impacted that much yet. But based on the trends in the market, you fear that it might get impacted going forward. Is that what you're saying?
Actually, what's happened is that we were internally expecting to do a little more. Okay, given that, given what we had said last quarter, that we had sort of deferred out some sale, some renewals had been deferred out. So that has not materialized to the extent we expected. Now, like I said, you know, we benefited because of that to some extent, but we've also got hurt to a slight extent because of the slowdown in IT hiring, and to some extent because of the confusion around GST rollout being rolled out in the towards the end of the quarter. So the overall numbers will look okay, but we are a little apprehensive about what could happen going forward. That's all.
Is it possible to quantify in any way the impact of the deferrals? What percentage of billing was that? Just to get a sense of, you know, where the disappointment was.
And it's very hard to quantify because, you know, there is a positive impact coming from the, you know, because of the change in policy of the earlier quarter. But at the same time, as Naitesh, you know, already said, that last few days of June, we have seen, because of uncertainty around GST and, you know, a lot of other factors, probably something is also pushed out as well, you know. So it's very hard to, you know, figure out, you know, what's in and what's out.
Like, to give you an example, you know, some of the clients which was where sort of we which we sort of pushed into this quarter were IT clients. Now you know, now some of those clients under normal circumstances would have sort of paid us more, but though they were deferred out, they paid us less because of the slowdown in IT hiring, maybe. So it's very hard to sort of say, to sort of break this down, but this is the cumulative impact.
And if it's possible to just extend your commentary gently in terms of companies versus recruitment firms, has there been a difference? Have recruitment firms slowed down more than companies directly using your platform?
Yes, that's true, because see, a lot of the recruitment firms also hire for IT companies. So those firms have seen a bigger slowdown than the firms which hire for non-IT companies.
Okay, fair enough. Just moving on then, you know, in terms of your overall strategy vis-a-vis Indeed, now I remember that when LinkedIn came into the market, you never really changed your strategy per se because it was a different product. From an Indeed perspective, does this merit a response either from a product perspective, pricing perspective, or go-to-market perspective, you know, over the next 2 or 3 years?
See, we've been, like I said, Indeed has been in the market for 5 years. It's just that they've been noticed by the general public a little more because they're on TV. So it's not as if they are not in the market. They've not been in the market. So we've seen them for the last 5 years, and we've been tweaking our strategy to counter them. In fact, we stopped giving them our jobs 5 years ago, many years ago. We worked on our SEO over the years because they were very strong in SEO in the early days. But now sort of we are sort of much ahead of them on SEO on many keywords. We started aggregating jobs a couple of years ago because we wanted to ensure that we have all the jobs because they were aggregating from other places. So and then, of course, there are a few other things which we are doing which they are not doing. And our mobile site for sort of experience, for example, we think is very good. We work very hard on that experience. So we've seen this coming, and we have been sort of working on it for a while now, and we'll continue to do that in the future as well.
So broadly, should I assume that it does not really merit a significantly different response from what you've been doing already for the last couple of years?
Indeed is not impacting our business right now. If what they're doing starts impacting our business, it may merit a different response. We may up our advertising spend at some point in time, for example. We may do a few other things. But right now, we are okay. So let's see how it evolves. We invest aggressively in product development, though, because that's the mode around our business, and that's something which sort of is more sticky and sort of more long-term. And so that we will not compromise, and we'll continue to invest aggressively on that front.
Fair enough. Just lastly, could you just remind me the traffic share numbers for 99acres? I think I missed that.
So the average has been around 44, 45, 46% for the quarter in that ballpark. If you take the market to be 99acres, Magic Bricks, Makan, Housing, and Common Floor, I think. and India property. So we are now about 40-45% larger than the EB, believe at least in terms of traffic share on time spent than our nearest competitor.
Fair enough. Thanks and best of luck.
Thank you very much. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from Ravi Menon from Elara Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for follow-up opportunity. Just wanted to check about, you said that a couple of large IT clients you might have deferred to the next quarter. Do you think this is possible? Because this quarter, anyway, they were under cost constraints due to the rupee depreciation plus even wage hikes for some of them. So do you think that next quarter we can see a pump up, or have you seen some of it already through July?
See, I tell you what happens is most clients renew. It's just that they downgrade. So somebody who sort of, let's say, for example, we have a product called eHire where we provide campaign shortlisting services. Now, if there's not enough bulk hiring banks happening, clients don't buy that solution. Now, if bulk hiring sort of picks up again, 6 months from now, they may buy again, but we can't be sure. So most clients all renew because they still need to hire people. It's just sometimes a downgrade. So what we saw was some clients downgrading. I'm talking about the large clients here last quarter. So they paid us less than what they paid us the previous year. And some consultants, of course, some consultants are very badly hit. Some maybe shut shop as well for a while, have shut shop as well for a while.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Alek Dalal from 130 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, can you just tell me what is the nature of this 9 crore ESOP charge, please?
So as per, Ind AS, we are supposed to provide for whatever ESOPs that we issue to employees. We are supposed to provide based on fair market value of those shares. So this is the quarter charge overall for the ESOPs that were granted earlier.
Okay, so there's no ESOP grant that's been done below market or any of that sort. You just are you're moving from cost basis to fair value basis or something of that sort and that charge is coming in this quarter, correct?
There could be multiple ways in which ESOPs could have been given. It could be in the form of SARs, which could be at market value and the gain is being... So even if it is SARs and market value, as per the Black-Scholes method, there would be a fair market value of even that, and there would be a charge of that. There are certain bullets that are given which are at the face value, at par value. So that also would have charge. Obviously, the charge would be different in both these cases, depending upon whether it is at par or whether the SARs are there. But in both the cases, there would be a charge to P&L.
Right. So if the stock price keeps going up, then the charges will continue, correct?
These charges are decided on the day when the grants are given, and it has no relevance per se for the for where the stock prices are. But the fresh grant, yes, it would be based on what the new stock prices are. And that's how the valuation method, Black-Scholes method works.
I think it's based on the stock price on the day of the grant and not on the stock price on the day of the exercise. Yeah.
Okay. Clear. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll take the next question from the line of Ashish Chopra from Motilal Oswal Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Hitesh, just wanted to understand that I think the trend in headcount has been one of slight decline over the last 4 to 5 quarters. So is it a reflection of any one particular business segment or just wanted to understand the explanation for the same? Thanks.
Yeah, so the decline is mostly on account of rationalization of costs in the 99 acres business.
Okay, you would think we are behind that or there is still more to come on that front?
Well, I mean, basically we've not been replacing some people. We've been leaving given that we expect the market to sort of consolidate going forward. We expect the number of clients in the market to reduce going forward given that we have RERA, et cetera, sort of happening. So, but we are, I think, mostly done. I mean, maybe, I think we are mostly done here.
Sure. And with respect to your investee company, so Merit Nation or Applet, so just wanted to get a sense of whether, you know, a product like a Baiju directly compares with it, and you know, just your thoughts on the competitive positioning and the differences between the two models.
So I think yes, you know, Baiju is trying to solve the same problem. Now, but the market is so fragmented, when you go out and talk to Merit Nation users and consumers, you find that very few of them also have Baiju, or they have, you know, they've lost people to Baiju. So right now the market is so large that, you know, there's not much overlap. But yes, eventually, you know, there will be overlap. Right? Now, having said that, I think the model of Merit Nation is slightly different. It is a premium model. And today, you know, registrations have, you know, almost doubled over the last 6 months. So they're getting a very large number of free registrations. You know, this is something which is a huge asset, which we are, you know, the company is trying to figure out how best to leverage it.
Okay. And just lastly from my side, wanted to know, you know, just some sense on the state of health of Mytala. I guess they were in for some fundraise, and then kind of that didn't happen, and I guess they've not been doing particularly well. Any thoughts on that? Thanks.
So just to kind of give you know, because now as per India's, we have been kind of, you know, wherever we have compound instruments, we have been marking it to market. Our investment in Mytala were actually through compound instruments. So if you look at our 31st March, you know, numbers as per the India's balance sheet, now we have almost kind of marked it down by almost like 50%. So that's where we are, based on whatever the current projection are and where the business is. That's the hit that we have already taken in March.
Okay. That's it from my side. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from Rajiv Sharma from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks again for the opportunity. I got cut off actually, you know, in my previous opportunity. My question is around how do you see automation in the IT industry impacting, you know, hiring prospects, overall job additions? A lot of IT companies have been talking about this. Have you done some internal study, or have you been watching this particular big trend, you know, automation picking up, or it doesn't affect at all in your case?
It's very hard to say. I mean, we've also been reading about automation, just like you've been. Most IT companies, when you talk to them and when you sort of look at what NASSCOM is saying, seem to believe that, you know, they will still continue to grow going forward. Of course, the pace of growth may be a lot less than it has been in the previous for the previous few years. But we don't know the exact impact of automation or any of the other sort of trend, big trends out there. It's very hard to say at this point in time. And of course, there are. If you talk to them, they also say that some new jobs will get created in areas where in the newer areas which are emerging, like IoT, like big data, like, you know, and so on as well. So we'll have to see what the net effect of all this is on IT companies over time.
And, you know, one follow-up is, lot of bulk of your revenues come from, you know, both direct IT and consultant IT. But what if you were to change your business model to more of non-IT tomorrow in anticipation of, you know, the automation thing or slowdown in hiring in general, is it really possible for you to position to other sectors equally, or it is just India has more IT jobs, that's why you get a lot of the IT revenues? If you can just help me understand this.
So, you know, see, the IT companies are the first ones to get online many years ago, because they were, of course, IT professionals were tech savvy, they had access to the internet. You know, it's a services business, the margins were high. So people are willing to spend a lot more on manpower hiring and recruitment than some of the non-IT companies. And also the companies sort of grew aggressively for many years. You know, so if the same thing were to happen in non-IT going tomorrow, let's say certain sectors, like at one point in time, you know, in the infrastructure sector sort of did very well for us. but it's been very slow for the last few years. Now, for example, tomorrow if the infrastructure sector picks up and, you know, suddenly a lot of engineers start getting hired in infra and infra companies start growing up, then we'll see the same kind of growth in infra as well. So so we can do only that much because our platform is is built and it's available to both IT and non-IT companies. Our sales team sort of reach out to both IT and non-IT companies here in every city. So if we will benefit definitely if non-IT hiring picks up going forward, but we really can't do much to impact hiring, if you know what I mean, in companies.
Yes, that's very useful. Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
Thank you. A reminder to participants, anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one at this time. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one. Participants who wish to ask questions may please press star and one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I now hand the conference over to Mr. Hitesh Oberoi for closing comments.
Well, thank you so much for being on the call and have a great evening.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Info Edge India Limited, that concludes this conference call for today. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.